you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, before we even start this week's episode, we wanted to make a big announcement. Boston fans, we hope you don't have any other plans on Halloween night because Martinis and Murder is coming to the Wilbur on Thursday, October 31st for a very special live Halloween show. So you can come in costume, but no props like wands or swords. You will not be able to enter. But we are so excited to be coming to Boston for the first time. Tickets are standard $27, or if you want to meet us and take a photo with us, you can have the VIP meet and greet ticket, and that is $62. But you can buy tickets at bit.ly/mmboston, or you can just click in the link in our show notes or any of our social media accounts. By now, you should know where to find us. We hope to see you there. This is late breaking news, so no one else is on this part of the podcast, but we're going to get back into the regular show now. But please, if you're in the Boston area, come see us on Halloween night. It's going to be spooky and fun. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Martinis and Murder, and this week's episode is a little different because A, Darren is not here, but B, she is being filled in by none other than Kate Snow. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm like fangirling right now.
Oh my God, that's
amazing.
I saw
you and I was like, that's what you look like. No,
I get that a lot,
I had
actually
seen your picture on, yeah, your, yeah, the, you know, on the app or,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, on the cover art, yes.
Yeah.
Kate is here to talk about your new show, Relentless.
That's right.
With Kate Snow, which is a great title, by the way.
Relentless really works.
Yeah.
So it's a show on Oxygen, 8 o'clock, 7 central, mm-hmm, on Friday nights. It is about people who become relentless, not by choice, really, but because something horrible happens, right? Mm. So a crime happens. Let's say a woman goes missing and her mom can't find her. Mm. A father dies and the kids decide they've got to figure this out. So all these relentless people who just will not give up. They're not, yeah, going to sit back. And they're not even doing just little things. They're going to go walk the streets. They're going to go door to door. They're going to... I mean, some cases, one woman is still fighting. The case hasn't, yeah, been solved yet. And,
oh,
she's still, frankly, like, she'll tell you, she's putting herself in danger,
yeah,
by going to seedy places, talking to people, trying to figure out who killed her twin sister.
But it's because she needs to solve this case.
Yeah. You can imagine, right? The,
yeah,
love you have for someone in your life and they go away and you just will do anything,
yeah,
to,
no,
figure out what happened.
Yeah. We've had so many victims' family members come, yeah, through the halls here at Oxygen and here at Martinis and Murder. One that sticks out to me is Dave Holloway, Natalie Holloway's,
oh,
father.
Oh, yes.
We did a special on the Natalie Holloway case and he was here. And first of all, I don't know if you've ever met him.
I've interviewed him from afar.
I was going to say, I feel like, yeah, you have, yeah. Her exact eyes, or she has his, I should, mm-hmm, say. And I'm sure you've seen this over the years interviewing so many people, that, especially even with the show Relentless, you can see in the eyes the palpable pain. Yeah, and it's tough, but at the same time, you see hope too, because there's a lot of people. The reason they're here being interviewed is because they want to have that word out there and hopefully,
absolutely,
we'll resolve it.
And here's what I didn't expect going into this project. I thought, I do a lot of stories about justice and,
yeah,
about things that are sort of undercovered and need to have light shined on them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is right up my alley. But,
right,
when we started out, I thought, okay, well, I didn't expect the inspiration I didn't expect to sit there and feel totally inspired by these people. Like, what am I doing with my life? They are, because they're not just helping themselves.
I have the same feeling. As people who interview these people, yes, we both have that same thought.
They're also, many of them are going on to help others.
Yeah.
So they're setting up foundations, or in one case, a woman in Hawaii, Kimberlyn Scott, has now lobbied the state legislature to change things. She wants to change laws. That's several of the cases that we profile. They want laws changed.
Good.
They want to fight for other survivors' families. It's just inspiring.
Through the show, did you sort of see that there are a lot of injustices through a lot of these cases? If they want the laws changed, there must be, right?
Yeah, and also the thing that comes up, and I don't want to diss law enforcement,
sure,
because I think
course.
Law enforcement does
of
a
course.
Very valuable service in
but
this
could
country.
Always be improved.
But there are times when their resources are strapped,
right?
So the Hawaii case that I just mentioned, it's Kimberlyn Scott's daughter, Charlie. You might remember this case. Mm-hmm. She was pregnant. She went missing on Maui. It got a lot of news coverage.
Oh, yes. This is
and what happens is Maui's a big place, and she went missing on the Hana Highway, which is this beautiful, curvy highway on the northern shore of Maui. And they don't have the resources in Maui, the police, to, you know, mobilize the troops and like do a huge search. They can't just spend hours and hours looking with helicopters. So the mom, Kimberlyn, says, I'm going to do this myself. And she calls all her friends and she gets people to come. She shows me in the piece, you'll see maps all over her table where she's gridding. She's like search grids on the maps and assigning people to go out and look.
Amazing.
Because the police can't do all that. Another case we looked at in Missouri, the detective who was the lead detective, I interviewed him, really nice guy, really, you know, solid detective, but it was his first murder case. He'd never done one before. So when the hospital accidentally threw away the clothing the victim was wearing, the young man who was stabbed to death, in a park, they threw away the clothes. They went in the garbage. You got to get that stuff tested right away. And it took years it's a long story, but it took years to get tested.
It is such a good point that you're making about law enforcement, because one of the things that I think we've learned on this podcast, and I think even the public as a true crime genre, people that absorb this genre have realized that, and one of the things I learned very early on is that not every jurisdiction of every part of this country or world has the same police resources. And that's really what, sadly, a lot of this comes down to.
And then at the same time, like, let's take the second episode we're going to be doing is about the Kornbleet family. David Kornbleet was a prominent dermatologist on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, one night, every night he would call home, tell his wife he was coming home, like, before he left. Mm. One night he doesn't call.
Oh, God.
The kids... Mom calls the grown children in their 20s, and John and Jocelyn. And Jocelyn runs over to the office and finds her dad. Finds him, you know, it's an awful, awful, I don't want to get into it. It's just a gory crime scene.
Watch the show if you guys want to,
And anyway, the police in Chicago are, you know, they're pretty good. So they get right on it. They find surveillance tape showing a man entering the building through the lobby and then leaving with I think he had like a scarf over his face.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like, I'm the guy.
Clearly you're the one, right?
So they put that out on the media. So the police did everything right. And yet there was totally cold. Like they couldn't figure it out because the criminal had been pretty wise you know, had covered up his tracks pretty well.
Yeah.
You know what broke the case? John, the son, and Jocelyn, the daughter, making a MySpace page. This is in 2006.
Back in the day,
when MySpace was huge. Right, not anymore.
Long time since then,
But that's what leads to a break in the case is because the police don't have the resource, or maybe didn't think to make a MySpace page and put stuff out there.
Right.
Because they figured this had to have been a young patient of their dad's. That's what they were figuring. And they were right.
And back then, you know, social media wasn't what it is today. So people probably, you know, law enforcement probably didn't think to make a MySpace page or know that it could be helpful even. How do you feel about armchair detectives and people that watch Relentless with Kate Snow on Fridays now and listen to this podcast? Do you think that collectively it's helpful to solving
some of
these things?
I think it can be. Because, I mean, there's a number of stories where, I'm sure you've encountered this too, where a tip comes from someone. I mean, in fact, to that point, one of the cases, so we have 8 episodes right now in this first run of Relentless.
Yeah.
One of the cases that we profile, I mentioned it a couple of minutes ago, is out of Baltimore. Mm. Jenny Carreri lost her twin sister, Jody, years and years ago. And is still fighting to find the killer. Mm. And put up, she actually saw the movie Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri, and decided to imitate that.
Oh,
put
up, I've heard about this.
She put up billboards all over. I mean, if you live in Baltimore, if you're listening,
I'm from
Maryland, so I know. You know this story because she put up in your face, like, why aren't you doing anything?
Oh,
calling
out
the prosecutor, calling out the local officials.
Right.
So in her case, it's still cold. They haven't, so she's hoping that your listeners and my viewers and everybody who sees this might actually have a tip.
Yeah, that's
somebody had to have seen something. It happened in a parking, the killing happening in a parking lot,
right,
like in the middle of the night, but still people were around.
Wow.
It wasn't like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
it was in
right.
Baltimore.
Wow, that's amazing. That's one of the episodes.
That's one of the episodes. I think that's the final episode,
actually.
All
right, well, tune in for that one. By the way, Matt the bartender did just walk in, Kate, in case you didn't know. He is here. You can see his face.
Oh, I'm such a fan. Hi. Oh, I'm like, I told you I'm fangirling. Like, this is
listen,
like martinis and murder.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm absolutely honored that you listen to the show. Matt, typically for those who are new to the show, has a mask on, but if you are a guest in the studio, you get to see his true identity.
Well, how come? I don't understand. I didn't start listening from the very beginning.
Yeah,
I don't understand why the voice is always changed.
Well, here's the thing. We don't really know either. That's the fun part of this show. We do
it's just kind of a gag?
Yeah, kind of a gag. I mean, Matt wants to stay anonymous. He truly does.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Because Matt, the first time I heard it, it took me a second. I was like, wait, what's wrong
what
with this person? Like, is there something? Well, I thought maybe he has
There's
a disability.
Wrong.
I don't know.
You never
and
know.
Then I realized it was your
I think it was meant, he's anonymous. Remember, you would know this, and you know, the old shows where like they would have the person cloaked in a silhouette. That's
I've done interviews.
I'm sure
like
you
that.
Have. Yes, exactly.
Where people, I mean, in all seriousness, where people can't, you know, they have to protect their identity.
So we did get a note yesterday. I should have talked about this at the top of the show. Someone with our press team calls me, and she was like, Kate would just like to know if you're actually going to be drinking on the show tomorrow morning. And I was like, yes, we will, if that's what Kate wants to do.
We're
and
recording at like, what time is it?
I know,
11
it's like 10, not even 11 yet.
Okay.
And she was like, just so you know, she loves a salty chihuahua with tequila. And we were like, we will get on that at 11 a.m. tomorrow.
I love that you did this. I love it.
So Matt is going to be working on that in the background.
I'm not, let's just be clear.
Yes.
I'm a journalist. I'm not normally a day drinker.
Of course.
I mean, just to want to, you know, like nightly news is going to be online too. Like,
what are you doing?
What are you doing?
It's funny because the press person was like, but also just keep in mind, like she does have a full press day. And I was like, okay. All right,
don't let her get out of control.
Right? So go easy on
really
the tequila,
messy.
Matt, a little bit.
No,
there.
You don't have to go. It's
all
okay.
Right. And she's just like, no, it's fine.
I'm a big fan of tequila.
Yeah. So, okay, let's get back to Relentless while Matt's making our drinks. So it sounds like this show is different in a lot of ways because you get to see kind of the victims' families going at it. Of course, you get the story.
Yeah. You're going to know what happened,
exactly.
Obviously. But we're not playing up the gory details as much as we're playing up the personalities of these people.
Yeah.
And also the twists and the turns, the journeys that they go on, right? So the first episode that just came out on Friday was a story of Lisa Wheeler and Lisa Wheeler Bowman, is her full name, and Karen Cobb. And they're both moms. They both had grown sons who were really close to them, who were wannabe rap artists.
Okay.
And they were at a rap studio in St. Petersburg, Florida one night, and they were killed in, I mean, cold blood, just like execution style, like really shot to death and really gruesome. Mm. And nobody saw this coming. It wasn't like there was some kind of quarrel going on or they were involved with, you know, something nefarious. They weren't kids that were in trouble at all, and they weren't kids. They were in their
20s. Sure,
Both of them actually were fathers at that point as well. So these two young fathers lose their lives. And one of the moms in particular, Lisa, just decides, this is not going to stand. I'm going to figure this out. She describes the community they live in St. Petersburg, as a place where that's very distrustful of police.
Oh, okay.
So she says, you know that term, snitches get stitches?
Yeah, right.
That's her community. Like, she's like, that's my neighborhood.
So
nobody's going to talk. Nobody's going to say anything, even if they did see something. Mm-hmm. There was a survivor. There was one guy in the recording studio who he was upstairs and got in the way and got shot.
Ugh.
She figures that out and goes to the hospital. Like, For the day like after records? This happens, no, she goes to interview to talk to the guy who was a witness before the police even get to him. It's a crazy story. Gosh. So she's like the most relentless person you've ever heard of.
A good first episode, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I forgot where I was going with this. What was your question?
Well, I was just saying we were talking about the victims' families and the people who are relentless.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
So it's all, the hour is really built around her journey.
Right.
Right, that's what I was saying. And the twists and the turns and the ups and the downs. I mean, you can imagine this woman was, not only is she fighting and stuff, but she's also distraught and mourning.
Of course.
She describes a low point where, speaking of drinking, she was drinking, I mean, she drank, I think it was a bottle of vodka. I mean, she ended up in the hospital because she just couldn't cope, right? And it was, the loss was so heavy and the hole was so big that she just, and then the other twists are when you think, in all these cases, you think something's, oh my gosh, we've got a clue. Maybe this is the guy. Maybe this is it. And then boom, it's nothing. Or it's not credible. Or, you know, it's a dead end.
That's exactly what I was just thinking about with Dave Holloway, who over the, how many years has had so many tips, even from the alleged killer and everything. Yeah. Here we go,
Thank you, Matt. Wow, the glasses are something.
Yeah, aren't they
Have you described these before?
Yes, we have. These are our bloody, these were sent in by a fan, actually.
They look like blood-spattered martini glasses.
Exactly. So cheers, Kate. Thank you very much for coming on the show. But we're not, Matt wants to cheers.
Cheers, Matt. Matt, will you say something just so I can hear your actual voice?
Oh, yeah, Matt, you should tell us what exactly it is.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for coming in. So we're having a salty chihuahua. I couldn't find any salt, Cointreau, and grapefruit juice. And I didn't actually use any real measurements. You probably don't know what a tersh is or a tersh burn, but yeah.
Am I supposed to know what a tersh is?
Listen, I'll tell you right now what it is. Matt comes over to my desk and he's like, I'm doing a recipe and I don't know what this
I don't either. Is everybody rolling their eyes at me?
That's not, no, you're a respected journalist. You should not know that. But he was over here and said Tershburn. I was like, is that a new measurement of something? So now it's a joke on the show that he's using a Tershburn of juice.
Oh, teaspoon?
Teaspoon or tablespoon.
Oh,
and he was in between the two of them.
I do cook. I mean, not a lot, but I was raised by a mom who's like an amazing cook. So a teaspoon, tablespoon. But my son keeps getting mixed. I have a 16-year-old son, and he keeps getting mixed up between the small tea and the big tea.
That's
and
sometimes, exactly.
Sometimes that makes for really not good dinners.
It's like when you put too much salt in it. You
or
know.
If you put, you know, too much Tershburn in this salty chihuahua.
Love that we got you to say Tershburn on our show because fans will love that, by the way.
Is it a drinking game? Like every time you say Tershburn?
Maybe we should do that moving forward and then we get in trouble.
I'm sorry, I was on Andy Cohen last night.
I know,
and
you were just on
drinking,
Watch
They have
life.
The drinking games. So.
You were a bartender. Let's talk about that. How was it?
You don't have to do much.
Yeah, you
just kind of stand there and behind the bar and laugh. That's what I did.
And every once in a while they'll cut to you and you just kind of wave at the camera.
Yeah, exactly. You've been
I was a bartender. Yeah, that's right.
A lot of fun. No, but Andy's great. He's amazing. And he was super supportive of the new show, which
awesome.
Is great.
So Relentless is on Oxygen Fridays at 8. Yep. And if you're listening to this now and you were just talking about the Lisa Bowman Wheeler case or you can watch it on Oxygen Now app or on Oxygen.com. But I didn't want to cut you off with this story. Was there anything more you wanted to mention about her relentlessness? I don't know if there was.
So
it just sounds so inspiring that people are doing this.
I'll tell you kind of the key. I don't want to give everything
away.
Yeah,
don't give it away, but make sure people watch.
Early on, Lisa hears kind of on the street from people. Well, actually, no. Early on, she goes to the hospital and finds Gary Smalls, who was the witness, who was there, who owned this. It was a recording studio / mechanic shop.
Right.
Okay. So maybe he didn't own it, but he was the manager.
Okay.
She interviews him, and he says that he vividly remembers that the man, there were two shooters, and one of them had a dent in his forehead, like a scar in his forehead. So she takes note of that, tells the talks to the police about that. But interestingly, the police don't really focus on that. In fact, when they made a sketch, they didn't include, they put a hat on the sketch. So you couldn't see that there was a scar on the forehead. Yeah.
Okay, that's not good.
So it takes months and months and months for it to all come back around. But Lisa kind of starts making journals. Mm-hmm. That's actually one of the hardest parts of the hour when she talks about writing her journals. She writes to her son, past Cabretti. His name is Cabretti.
How do people do this? You know, that's the thing that goes through my head. How do you handle this, being the person kind of interviewing these people who have gone through so much in their lives? Because obviously, being in this podcast, I do a lot of that myself. Yeah. And that's one of the questions that I get, I notice when I'm talking to fans of the show and just mm-hmm. outside of these walls. You know, it is a process to kind of like handle other people's grief.
It is. And unfortunately, I do a lot. You know, I work for NBC Nightly News. I'm a Sunday anchor, and then I'm a correspondent during the week for Today's Show Nightly News. So I do a lot.
Just little things like that.
Day job.
Couple side gigs.
But I do a lot of stories where people have suffered greatly or they've been sexually abused or things they don't want to talk, you know, that you wouldn't want to sit down and talk to a stranger about. Sure. So I think over the years I've learned, I'm sure you have, mm-hmm. ways to make people feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. That's really important. And respected is really important.
Right.
And this is their venue. This is their vehicle. You have to kind of explain to them, this is, you're going to tell your story in your way. And that's how I approached each of these Relentless episodes is this is your opportunity to tell us not just about the awful thing that happened, but the good that came of it, in that you did. Most of these people did eventually get some form of justice.
Yeah.
They also then go on to help other people.
Even better, right?
Right? And so there's that part of it. I also would say for a lot of these folks, these crimes happened a while ago, right? I mean, a lot of times the stories that we're going after are things that we're waiting until they've been resolved.
Sure,
so they happened years ago. And for some of them, they've talked so many times about it that it's almost become like there's like a wall.
A boundary almost.
Yeah, they protect themselves,
totally.
Understandably.
Sure, yeah.
They don't want to cry.
Because how could
they don't
want
to get emotional because you have to protect yourself.
Right.
So that was actually the biggest challenge with some of these was...
Breaking through that a little bit.
And I kept saying to people... and we would take breaks and stuff. I don't ever want to badger someone ever.
Of course,
but I would say, you know, John, take me back. Like, go back in your mind to that moment. Go back to that day when you got the phone call.
Right.
And that I think is helpful in getting people to open up and without having to relive the whole thing, just remember those feelings.
I'll say that this, even the way you just said that to me, I'm like, do I have a story to tell? Because you're so good at just sort of making you feel at ease.
Yeah,
so that's tough. And it's a reality, I think, of this genre in general, just of the true crime genre. Mm-hmm. But when you think about, because one of the questions I get, and maybe you get this a lot, is how do you handle it like on a day-to-day basis? And I always say that at the beginning of this, it was a little difficult because I'm an empath by nature. So it's kind of like,
me too.
When I feel like you are too. Exactly.
I feel for people.
And it feels like, you know, at first it was a lot, but then when you start thinking that you could make a difference in telling these stories, then it opens up this world where you want to be working on it.
That's
you know?
I was talking to somebody who covers the media last week, interviewed me about this from the Poynter Institute. I won an Emmy last week. I don't know if you
congratulations. I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't like to brag. I'm turning red.
You are working hard. That's amazing. I'm giving you a round of applause.
Thank you. But
Matt,
it was for,
clap for Kate Snow.
The Emmy really belongs to Andrea Constant. She's the person who took down Bill Cosby.
Okay.
Remember,
I was like, I know
she's
that
the
name.
Case that led to his conviction. He's in prison now because of Andrea Constant.
Right.
And I was being asked about just what you just said, that it can make a difference. And the whole reason that Andrea wanted to talk at all, and she wanted to do just one interview. She did one interview with me and nothing else.
I didn't even realize that.
It was exclusive.
Amazing.
Yeah. Just because, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that is what she wanted.
Yes.
She wanted to just tell it and then be done and then help people on a local level where she's living in Toronto in Canada.
Right.
She's helping people.
Wow.
But she wanted the message to be that, you know, you're empowered, and that if others are listening who might have been victims of sexual assault or abuse,
and look what she has
you
done.
You can come forward and it can work and
exactly.
you can get justice.
Wow. What a story. Amazing. Yeah. Congratulations on that. That's work well received, in my opinion.
You.
Yes. How do you sort of perceive like your role as a woman, I guess, even in this genre? Because I know, at least with our show and you know, what I see on Oxygen, a lot of the audience that's listening and tuning in are young women. Do you feel like this appeals to women for a certain reason? And do you feel like you have a role
isn't it?
In that? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when Oxygen kind of refocused on true crime, and then said, you know, and the most of their viewers, when I was talking, when we were getting ready to do Relentless, they explained that a lot of viewers are women.
Yeah.
I think it goes to what you just said about empathy. Mm-hmm. I think, and I don't want to generalize the genders here.
It's true though. Go ahead.
Because there are a lot of empathetic men, but I do think that women, we feel
as a culture,
for people.
Yeah.
We feel for people and we watch these shows with interest because it's almost like we're feeling for,
totally.
For the people that suffer.
Yeah.
And we want the happy ending. We want to
absolutely.
See somebody be held accountable.
Yeah. So with your time on Dateline, do you feel like obviously true crime has really blown up in a lot of ways in the last couple of years.
Look at Keith right now, his podcast.
Yeah. Yes.
Morrison. I guess that's a competitor of yours.
No, it's not. We're all in the family here, right?
Yeah. Keith Morrison has this new podcast for Dateline that's going gangbusters.
I saw that. That's amazing. And that's what I mean. It's like, even from like 5 or 6 years ago, it is like a completely different genre. How do you see like Dateline and Relentless kind of fitting in that way? Like, because Dateline... Well,
Dateline's like the grandfather, right?
I was going to say, it's
Dateline
like
has been around so long.
Yeah.
And I mean, really, of all, I heard at one point that of all the shows on NBC, if you look back, Dateline's one of the long, it might even be the longest running.
I believe
somebody
it
has
might
to check
be.
That for
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
it's a long running, and the audience is loyal.
Yeah.
I mean, you go on Twitter on a Friday night and
everyone's
number of
on
people
Dateline.
That are, you know, hashtag Dateline and don't watch alone and the wine glasses and that whole thing. It's a culture.
Absolutely.
It's become a cultural.
That's a great way to put it. It's
moment,
a culture.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it's a shared, I think the other thing about Dateline is it's a shared experience.
Totally.
Right? Like
yes.
it's, we don't have a lot of shows that we all watch together anymore except the Super Bowl, right? So we can watch Dateline or Relentless on Fridays
or on the Oxygen Now app or
Hashtag
Oxygen.com.
Relentless with Kate Snow.
Listen, you're here. You're working it. Yes.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
you're right,
we do want to, I'm being serious. Yeah. We want a community of people. Like if you're out there and you saw the first episode and you think it's cool and you think it's interesting,
Let us know.
Yeah. Let us know.
Totally.
We're even talking about, you know, one day could we get, I'd like to get all the people that are in the episodes that we've shot so far together.
Ooh, that's
right?
A great idea.
I'd like
idea.
To bring them up because they could learn from each other. The moms and the sisters and the brothers and the dads and the kids who fought so hard for justice and some are still fighting. They could actually help each other.
Absolutely. I completely agree. That I mean, that's what we were sort of talking about at the beginning, like a collective community of like armchair detectives.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen positive things come out of that. So what more could you want?
And I wonder if social media isn't part of why people are more interested in true crime, because it does create the community around it. And people can talk to each other.
Yeah.
They watch a show or they listen to your podcast and then they get on Twitter and like, or not just Twitter, but anywhere, Instagram, and they talk about it.
I wanted to ask you that as a journalist because...
Oh, now we're going to journalist questions?
Well, listen, we won't get into politics per se.
No, please, no.
No. We won't get into that.
And I have a salty chihuahua in my hands.
Take
that's
a drink.
Dangerous.
Take a drink. I'll ask you about Trump. I'm just kidding. But I do want to know what you think about the way... you know, because news has been kind of insane the last couple of years.
It's kind of insane.
Even last couple of weeks, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
How do you think news reporting has changed, if at all, over your career with the introduction of social media and stuff?
I mean,
like that?
I can't even
completely
100% different than it was when I started.
Yeah.
And I'm look, it's all over. It's on Wikipedia. You can see how old I am. I've been doing this for a while.
All right.
I've been doing this for a while, for like 20 plus years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected that.
Well,
amazing.
Okay.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
But the point is, I started out with in local news in New Mexico with a brick. You remember those cell phones? Like, I think they were in the movie Wall Street, like Michael Douglas had one.
Yeah.
They're these humongous bricks.
Bricks.
I mean, before that, we didn't even have, I used to have to go to pay phones when I was in college.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's how old I am.
Yeah.
So the evolution of the cell phone and the mobile phone. Has been
the internet, even
everything,
well. Yeah.
all of it, email, all of
yeah,
it.
Sure,
I mean, even fax machines were invented in my career my 20 year span. So it's changed everything in two ways. One, it's changed the way things are shared and disseminated,
exactly.
right? So, all my stuff, you know, you just said you can watch Relentless on your phone if you want to, you can watch my nightly news Sunday broadcast that I anchor on your phone. You can whatever you can watch,
which
it whenever
I'll be
you want.
Doing, just so you
Thank
know.
You.
Yes,
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Oh, Matt has looked
Matt.
It up.
Dateline is the longest running show ever on NBC. Longest running series in primetime.
Wow.
I wasn't wrong. Thank you, Matt.
Amazing. Matt has lived up to his job today as producer. Thank you, Matt.
What were we talking
about? We were talking about internet and fax machines, sorry. things of that nature.
Matt, I'm so distracted.
Matt, how dare you?
Yeah. So two things. One, the way things are disseminated. The other way it's changed things is how we gather the news. So we can now find out about a crime story or find out about anything. I mean, something happens in Paris. We know about it within
instantly,
like 30 seconds now.
Right,
because somebody's posted a picture somewhere.
Wow.
And so the speed at which my kids, I have two teenagers, the speed they're living at, and that's not just journalism, that's the world.
Every part of it.
Every one of us is living in a, like warp speed information,
that's
right?
That's such a good way to put that. I had never heard it told like that. Because it's not just that we're like addicted to our phones, it's that our routines have been sped up 100 times from like 20 years ago.
Yeah. So when we think about this all the time, when we're doing the broadcast on Sunday, for example, or any day of the week, but when I anchor on Sundays, we think about, okay, we start in the morning with our first meeting, and by 6:30, John, you've already read all the headlines. Even on a Sunday, you probably were on social media and you probably saw that there was this thing happened and that thing happened.
Right.
So we have to be really, really fresh
and current, right?
And
okay.
Current, and, or the other thing we have to do is add value, right? And do stories that are like, "Ooh, I haven't seen that anywhere else."
Interesting,
right? So,
well, that's what I love about Relentless itself too, because, like I said earlier, it was like you hear about these cases and the murders, but you don't really see what happens after.
We often lose sight of the family members, and we often forget to follow up.
Yeah,
you know, we don't as a media in general. I don't think we often go back to like the Holloway story and revisit.
Because it's just not that interesting, right? That like, oh my gosh, somebody
didn't die. Or because there's 75,000 other things in our phone right now that we have to cover.
We're living at warp speed. Yeah, exactly. Well, wow. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you. This was so fun.
I am so excited about Relentless, and I know fans of this show listening are going to want to watch it as well, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Here's to a million more Emmys coming your way. Let's cheers for that alone.
Cheers,
that's
for
amazing.
That.
Is that
Thank
your first
you.
Emmy?
It's my fifth.
Your fifth?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. You're just so used to this now. What are we cheersing for?
I told you I'm old, right?
Okay. You cannot be that old. Trust me. Kate, thank you so much. You're here in the building, right? In 30
Rock? I'm down on the fifth floor. Will you come by?
Can I tell you? Yes, I will come by. And here's another funny thing. We were talking about this like a couple of months ago, just the show here at Oxygen. And then literally I went down to 9. For those of you listening, it's where we eat. It's like our
commissary.
And
it's
and I was like, that's Kate Snow. And I was like,
did you say anything?
Well, no, because here's what went through my head. I was like, I feel like I love her and that,
aww.
And I was like, she doesn't know me yet, but soon enough we'll get to know each other. And then sure enough, here we are. It's serendipity. So now when I see you in our commissary, I'll be sure to say,
hi. Anyone on the street that sees me
street,
can say
yes.
hi.
Amazing.
I'm totally open to that.
Awesome.
I love that actually.
So make sure you guys are watching Relentless with Kate Snow Fridays at 8 on Oxygen, but also on the Oxygen Now app and on oxygen.com. And Kate, I will see you around the building.
We'll see you in the commissary.
All right. Take care.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.